Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines is Wednesday, March the 22nd. Pope Francis says that water is a primary necessity and must never be wasted or abused. The Holy See's UN envoy says racism should be countered by promoting a culture of encounter, solidarity and authentic human fraternity. And we speak to Caritas Syria about the humanitarian situation in the country. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. During his weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square today, Pope Francis stressed that water is a primary necessity that must never be wasted or serve as grounds for war. His appeal came on World Water Day, which has been held on this day every year since 1993. Linda Bordoni has this report.
The 22nd of March marks World Water Day, an annual observance that celebrates this primary need and raises awareness of the 2 billion people living without access to safe water. Water, Pope Francis said, must never be the object of waste or abuse, nor must it provide the grounds for war. It must be preserved for our benefit and that of future generations. Speaking during the weekly general audience, the Pope recalled the words of St. Francis of Assisi in his Ode to Creation, Laudato Si. Praised be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, who is very useful and humble and precious and chaste. In these simple words, he said, we feel the beauty of creation and the awareness of the challenges involved in caring for it. The Pope noted that the second UN Water Conference is taking place at the UN headquarters in New York in these days, with thousands of delegates attending. I pray for the success of their work, he said, and hope that the important event will accelerate initiatives in favour of those who suffer from the scarcity of water, this primary good. Ahead of the opening of the major UN Water Summit, a UN report warned of a looming global water crisis and an imminent risk of shortages due to overconsumption and climate change. I'm Linda Bordoni.
As we heard there, the Pope is praying for the success of the 2023 UN Water Summit, which is currently underway. Our correspondent Eduardo Giribaldi is at the meeting in New York. Let's listen to his report.
The United Nations General Assembly has come together in New York to host the 2023 Water Conference. The event, which will take place from March 22 to March 24, is co-hosted by the Kingdom of the Netherlands and the Republic of Tajikistan and is committed to creating a global momentum for accelerated implementation and improved impact to advance the broad challenges surrounding water. The conference comes just 2 days after the launch of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change 2023 report. As underlined by IPCC Chair Wei Sung Lee, the report underscores the urgency of taking more ambitious action and shows that, if we act now, we can still secure a sustainable future for all. The latest data highlighted by the United Nations show that half of humanity, that is 3.6 billion of people, live without safely managed sanitation, while one in three people, that is 2.3 billion, lack basic hand washing facilities at home. The Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, remarked how the Water Conference must result in a bold water action agenda that gives our world's lifeblood the commitment it deserves. Parallel to the plenary sessions, the conference will feature 5 interactive dialogues on the 5 main themes of the conference: water for health, water for sustainable development, water for climate, resilience and environment, water for cooperation and water action decade. During the first day of the conference, the focus will be on equalitarian access to drinking water, sanitation and hygiene, and the role of water in sustainable economic and urban development.
That was Eduardo Giribaldi reporting that from the 2023 UN Water Summit in New York. Now, after his words on World Water Day, Pope Francis made a second appeal at today's general audience, this one concerning the Ukraine war. The Holy Father recalled his consecration of Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary almost a year ago and called on believers everywhere to renew this act of consecration as the anniversary comes up. Christopher Wells has more.
Speaking to the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square on Wednesday, Pope Francis recalled the consecration of Russia and Ukraine to Mary 1 year ago. My thoughts, he said, go to the 25th of March last year, when in union with all the bishops of the world, I consecrated the Church and humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He continued, let us not tire of consecrating the cause of peace to the Queen of Peace.
Non stanchiamoci di affidare la causa della pace alla Regina della Pace.
And added, I'd like to invite every believer and community, especially prayer groups, to renew the act of consecration to Our Lady every 25th of March, so that she, who is a mother, might preserve us all in unity and peace. The Pope then recalled tormented Ukraine, as he has at almost every general audience since the outbreak of the war.
E non dimentichiamo questi giorni la martoriata Ucraina che soffre tanto.
And he urged his listeners never to forget the country, which he said is suffering very greatly. The Holy Father's initial consecration of Russia and Ukraine to Mary's Immaculate Heart in March of last year was a response, he said, to the war between the two countries. This is no magical formula, he explained at the time, but a spiritual act. It is an act of complete trust on the part of children who, amid the tribulation of this cruel and senseless war that threatens our world, turn to their mother, reposing all their fears and pain in her heart and abandoning themselves to her. I'm Christopher Wells.
Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, the Vatican's permanent observer to the United Nations, today addressed the UN General Assembly in New York for the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. In his remarks, the nuncio reiterated the Holy See's strong condemnation of any form of racism, which, he said, should be countered by promoting a culture of encounter, solidarity, and authentic human fraternity. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Addressing the UN General Assembly on Tuesday, Archbishop Gabriele Caccia stated that racism is based upon the distorted belief that one person is superior to another, which starkly contrasts the fundamental principle that human beings are born equal in dignity and rights. The nuncio remarked that despite the commitment of the international community to eradicate it, racism continues to re-emerge like a mutating virus, resulting in what Pope Francis has called a crisis in human relationships. He noted that this crisis unfolds at different levels, with an overt racial discrimination which is often identified and condemned, but also at a deeper level as racial prejudice embedded in all aspects of society. Archbishop Caccia remarked that the crisis in human relationships resulting from racial prejudice can be effectively countered by the promotion of a culture of solidarity and human fraternity, which, he said, does not mean simply to live together and tolerate one another, but rather meeting others and building bridges. The Vatican Observer concluded his remarks by expressing the Holy See's concern for the racism and racial prejudice targeting migrants and refugees. In this regard, he highlighted the need for a change from attitudes of defensiveness and fear towards attitudes based on a culture of encounter, which, he said, is the only culture capable of building a better and more fraternal world. I am Lisa Zingarini.
This month marked the 12th anniversary of the start of the war in Syria. The conflict has caused immense suffering, with almost 250,000 Syrians killed and millions more displaced. International sanctions have precipitated the nation into economic crisis, and on the 6th of February, a powerful earthquake killed hundreds of people and left hundreds of thousands in need of aid. Sarah Hazim is the head of programme for Caritas Syria. She told Vatican Radio of the many challenges that her organisation is currently facing.
Since the war stopped, there is another crisis. It's the bad economic situation in Syria caused by the war, caused by the sanctions on Syria, which caused the lack of all needs of the people. Fuel, electricity, food, all these materials are not available. That's why we are trying to do both early recovery in addition to the basic needs. The percentage of the poor people is very high in Syria due to the economic situation after the war. And now we have the earthquake, so it's worse than before. And yes, we are trying our best to respond to the need of the people.
Do you feel that the spotlight is still on Syria, international attention is still on Syria, or has it elapsed a little bit?
To be honest, after the war, we heard from many partners that after 10 years of war, first, that Syria is not the baby anymore for the organization. And later we have the COVID pandemic, which also affect the assistance to Syria. And then the Ukraine crisis, and also the Lebanese crisis, the Beirut blast. That all affect actually the assistance to Syria. We faced a lot of challenges regarding receiving fund from our partners. We are still receiving, but there is a shortage in fund according to all these crises in other regions.
That was Sarah Hazim from Caritas Syria, speaking there to Linda Bordoni. And while we're on the topic of Asia, Muslims on the continent have begun marking the holy month of Ramadan. Islamic authorities Asian countries have sighted a crescent moon, thus marking the official start of the holiday month, of the holy month, excuse me. Worshippers have been flooding mosques to offer evening prayers. During Ramadan, Muslims refrain from eating, drinking and smoking from sunrise to sunset. Even a tiny sip of water or a puff of smoke is enough to invalidate the feast. At night, family and friends gather and feast in a festive atmosphere. The fasting is aimed at bringing the faithful closer to God and reminding them of the suffering of the poor. Pope Francis continued his weekly catechesis at his general audience today, urging all those present to reread St. Paul VI's apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Nuntiandi. Each of us, the Holy Father said, is called to go forth on a journey of evangelization. Francesca Merlo has more.
Pope Francis dedicated his catechesis on Wednesday to the theme of evangelization. Addressing the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square, he referred straight away to St. Paul VI's apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Nuntiandi.
L'evangelizzazione è più che una semplice trasmissione dottrinale e morale.
He noted that evangelization is more than just simple doctrinal and moral transmission, but rather that it is first and foremost the witness of the personal encounter with Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word in which salvation is fulfilled. The witness of a Christian life involves a journey of holiness based on baptism, which makes us sharers in the divine nature, said the Pope.
E la santità non è riservata a pochi, no.
Adding that this holiness is a holiness that is not reserved for the few, but is a gift from God and demands to be received and made to bear fruit for ourselves and for others, nourished by prayer. To bear this witness, the Pope continued, the Church, as such, must also begin by evangelizing herself. She must do so in order to not become a museum piece. This Church, concluded the Pope, is one that dialogically encounters a contemporary world, that weaves fraternal relationships, that generates spaces of encounter, implementing good practices of hospitality, welcome, recognition and integration of the other and of otherness, and that cares for the common home that is creation. With this in mind, Pope Francis finally, before blessing all those following his audience, once again urged all those present to read or reread Evangelii Nuntiandi.
Io vi dico la verità, io la leggo spesso, eh?
Assuring them that he himself reads it often. I am Francesca Merlo.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please do visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, Twitter and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Patrizio Ciprari in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock.